So with war in Iran, as a cybersecurity CEO, how concerned, Vlad, how real and material is that risk?
I think it's actually gotten to the top of the list.
We're already seeing Iran have real threats and conduct cyber activity against organizations in the Middle East.
Meanwhile, U.S. officials are monitoring the possibility of cyber attacks by Iran.
And we anticipate that they could follow on with operations here in the United States.
You got to expect there'll be cyber attacks or terrorist attacks either here or around the world. You know, banks may be targets, so may, you know, plenty of other people. And we always try to be prepared for that. We never try to predict when, why, where. We spend a lot of money protecting ourselves for cyber. We think it's part of our job. But I've always said I would consider that one of the highest risk banks bear. Not just the cycle, cyber.
And all of that was in the last 48 hours. Right now, there's an explosion of chatter around the prospect of an Iranian cyber attack targeting U.S. critical infrastructure or financial networks, or both. And we're seeing individuals and institutions that are quite tightly aligned, often with the World Economic Forum or other globalist institutions, as well as a ton of mainstream media coverage and buzz, much of which is sourcing it, the information from intelligence community officials, all of it suggesting that this is about to happen, that we're on the cusp of a massive cyber attack from Iran. And I think this is particularly salient, especially in light of the IRGC's warning yesterday that U.S. citizens will no longer be safe even in their own home. Right, so we have to ask ourselves, what kind of a missile would pose a threat to everyone across the entire United States when they're sitting in their living room? Well, it's not a missile, right? That would have to be a cyber attack that takes down the power grid or takes down the internet for a time or turns off settlements for financial networks so that your credit cards and ATM cards don't work anymore. And any one of these three would, as Klaus Schwab told us years ago, bring our way of life to a halt. So that's why I think this is worth taking a look at. I know everyone's got their eyes on the literal explosions that are happening right now, but this is the narrative that's being advanced right now, and it is very much in alignment with the agendas that have long been explicit, that have long been announced. So let's have a conversation about that. I'm Christian, and you can find me at unshadowed.org. And let's start with this report from Reuters. We'll take a look at a few different data points, and I think what we'll see is that the picture that is being drawn by these data points is a quite compelling one. So from Reuters, intelligence assessment warns of Iranian attacks on the U.S. following Khamenei's death, and they're very explicit that the February 28th threat assessment from DHS, the main concern there was that Iran-aligned hacktivists would conduct low-level cyber attacks against U.S. networks. Quote, a large-scale physical attack is unlikely, but Iran and its proxies probably pose a persistent threat of targeted attacks in the homeland and will almost certainly escalate retaliatory actions if reports of the Ayatollah's death are confirmed. That's, of course, now happened. And in fact, just moments ago, we learned Israel struck the Iranian Supreme Court, where they were furiously trying to elect a new leader. And we also saw yesterday Hezbollah announce that they are joining the war against the great Satan, against the United States. So this is not de-escalating. It looks very much like we are off to the races. And that is why the pump is being primed on these cyber attacks. So here's another report from nextgov.com. Intelligence firms watch for uptick in Iran cyber activity after the U.S. and Israel strikes. Quote, Tehran-linked hackers are stepping up digital recon and preparing for potentially disruptive cyber activity following these strikes, cyber intelligence firms warn. The strikes and escalating tensions across the Middle East are setting the stage for a renewed phase of Iranian cyber operations, including espionage and possible attacks on U.S. critical infrastructure. We'll keep hearing critical infrastructure and opportunistic devices that are open for these kinds of attacks, be mentioned by a number of these advisories. So the first group that the NextGov report here mentions is CrowdStrike. And before we read what they said, I just want to make sure that everyone remembers it was CrowdStrike that is, A, that is a World Economic Forum partner, and then B, it was they that were the principal organizers of the cyber pandemic tabletop exercise back in the day. That was the event where Klaus Schwab said, this is going to bring our way of life to a halt and make COVID look like a walk in the park. Yeah, CrowdStrike was the group. They were as remarkably prescient in their foresight about how the cyber attacks might look, targeting critical infrastructure and financial networks, as, say, the Rockefeller tabletop exercise that foresaw a pandemic. Somehow these think tanks are just really, really good at imagining these hypothetical scenarios that then become a reality and that then flow into all of the solutions that they're dictating. So, all right, having reminded ourselves that this is the same CrowdStrike, now here they are saying, yeah, that what we were talking about back then, it's about to happen. It's happening now. From NextGov, CrowdStrike, quote, is seeing a surge in claimed activity from Iran-aligned and sympathetic hacktivist groups, including assertions of disruptive actions like DOS attack, denial of service attacks, and interference across targets in the Middle East, the US, and parts of Asia. At this point, most of these publicized hacks are claim-driven, but critical infrastructure and financial sector firms should remain vigilant. And then here's another group that they consulted. This one is Google. And we're learning from the chief analyst at Google's threat intelligence group, quote, we expect Iran to target the US, Israel, and Gulf Cooperation Council countries with disruptive cyber attacks, focusing on targets of opportunity and critical infrastructure. So there is the head of cybersecurity at Google saying, we expect Iran to launch cyber attacks. And by the way, that was, in fact, Jamie Dimon in the intro, those little montage of clips, that was the head of JP Morgan, one of the biggest banks in the world, saying, I expect, he said, Iranian cyber attacks. Now, Jamie Dimon has been around a long time. He was around before the 2008 financial crisis, and he has been consistently saying, yeah, this is probably about to happen right before it happens. And so when we hear him say JP Morgan is expecting some Iranian cyber attacks, that's a pretty heavily weighted data point, right? That's different than just some advisory from a cybersecurity company where that's how they make their money, so you expect them to tell people to beef up their security. It's different than some guy on YouTube saying it's going to happen. I'm not the one claiming this. That's the head of JP Morgan saying, I expect Iran to launch cyber attacks. That was the head of Google cybersecurity saying, I expect Iran to launch cyber attacks. We've seen advisories issued by Canada here from their National Cyber Threat Assessment 2025. That was in the wake of the 12 Days War last year. We also saw an advisory in the UK from their National Cyber Security Council, which said, quote, which warned, quote, that heightened geopolitical tensions can elevate the risk of retaliatory or opportunistic cyber activity affecting British networks, that Iran has some capability to conduct disruptive or even destructive cyber operations, underscoring, again, the need for continued vigilance. And then here is the similar advisory that was issued by DHS last year, saying, quote, low-level cyber attacks against U.S. networks by pro-Iranian hacktivists are likely, and cyber actors affiliated with the Iranian government may conduct attacks against U.S. networks. They go on to specify down here, both hacktivists and the Iranian government itself routinely targets both poorly secured U.S. networks and internet-connected devices. Now, I think internet-connected devices, it's an interesting one that they're calling out. Not only does this echo something that we heard in the cyber pandemic years ago in that tabletop exercise, but it's coinciding with a couple other instances of this insecure internet concept that's being floated out right now, which of course speaks to the dictated solution, the one they want. The technocrats are as we know, pushing for digital ID. They really want you to log in and use your ID to use the internet. They really want to have biometrics, whether that's fingerprints or iris scans or face scanning, whatever it is. They want to make sure they knew who's using their resources. And by the way, there's a lot of emphasis in some of these media reports about AI being used for these cyber attacks, for the attacks on critical infrastructure, whether that's water, wastewater treatment facilities or nuclear power plants or whatever. They're saying that AI is going to be used, and that might mean that we need to tighten the wrench on just who is allowed to use AI. At least we'll need to require you to use your digital ID. So this, you can really see the marriage of a lot of the agendas that have been long publicly, explicitly called for, but they need that crisis. They need that right crisis to actually shoehorn them in without the public freaking out. And so what I meant when I said internet-connected devices, there's two other things that are going on right now that coincide with this mention of it as an Iranian cyber attack vector. First of all, we learned that Israel had hacked into Iran's traffic cameras in order to figure out, to glean the patterns of transportation of the Ayatollah, and that's how they were able to figure out where he was and kill him. And just so it's not just me saying that, here from Financial Times, quote, nearly all the traffic cameras in Tehran had been hacked for years. Their images were encrypted and transmitted to servers in Tel Aviv and southern Israel, according to people familiar with the matter. One camera had an angle that proved particularly useful, according to those people, allowing them to determine where the men liked to park their personal cars and providing a window into the workings of the closely guarded complex. So traffic cams were used to assassinate the leader of Iran. Poorly secured internet-connected devices, targets of opportunity, as we're reading about it in the words of some of these cyber analysts. And I think it's the reason I am emphasizing this is happening at the same time as we're seeing this deflock movement in the U.S., where especially because of that Super Bowl commercial that showed AI tracking dogs throughout neighborhoods to rescue puppies, but it was clear that it could track anyone and anything. And in fact, there were even emails leaked from that company saying, we're going to eliminate crime long term, we're going to solve all these problems. So it's clearly not just a puppy tracker. And now there's all this pushback in the US and other places to get away from Flock, right? To get rid of your Ring cameras, to stop this mass panopticon surveillance using AI. And it's just interesting that these cameras, the Ring cameras, the traffic cameras, and now these cyber attacks against internet connected devices, this is all happening at the same time. So I just wanted to mention that, it's something that we should keep our eye on. Before I close, I do want to play the original Klaus Schwab quote from that cyber pandemic tabletop exercise. Again, that was from one of the groups saying, yeah, this is happening now, because I think that's worth hearing. And then we'll also hear from Janet Napolitano, the former head of DHS, saying that America is headed for a cyber 9/11. And before I play that, I'll just say again, thanks for watching. This is Christian, and you can find me at unshadowed.org.
We all know, but still pay insufficient attention to the frightening scenario of a comprehensive cyber attack, which would bring to a complete halt to the power supply, transportation, hospital services, our society as a whole. The COVID-19 crisis would be seen in this respect as a small disturbance in comparison to a major cyber attack. To use the COVID-19 crisis as a timely opportunity to reflect on the lessons the cybersecurity community can draw and improve our preparedness for a potential cyber pandemic.
Madam Secretary, let's start with cyber.
Yeah.
You've said that a cyber 9/11 is not an if, but a when. What would a cyber 9/11 look like, and how soon could it happen?
It could happen imminently. What would it look like? It could take many forms, but let me just give one that may come to mind, which is what happens when the electric grid goes down. You know, we saw that during Sandy, and you see how that impacts everything from the ability to heat homes, to the ability to pump gasoline, to the ability to have lighting at night, everything. So when we look at the nation's critical infrastructure and where it is vulnerable, one of the vulnerabilities is through the cyber and the networked cyber world that we live in. So we have been, you know, kind of trying to get this word out. The Secretary of Defense has, I have, the Attorney General has, the Chair of the Joint Chiefs has, saying, look, we shouldn't wait till there is a 9/11 in the cyber world. There are things we can and should be doing right now that, if not prevent, would mitigate the extent of damage that could be caused.